six, seven, eight, nine, ten. Okay. Shabbat shalom, everybody. Shabbat shalom, folks watching online. I'm Rabbi Joe Bell. This is our Yehuda Messianic Congregation, and we're glad you're with us today. We have a great service for you today, and God's given me a word, which I'm calling the plan. It's really a prophetic word for what's coming for America and what I see coming for America based on scripture and for Israel and probably the world, really, but mostly America and Israel in the coming years, the next 5 or 6 years. So stick with us for that message. That'll be about 12:30. We're going to have service now. And so I'm going to... just make as Miss Dawn here. Oh, we're gonna do Shabbat Shalom. All right.
Israel filled with life. divide and joy, Sabbath of his rest. This day for Israel, filled with light and joy, Sabbath of his rest, Sabbath of his rest.
Hallelujah. Anthony, would you do the blessing of the Messiah?
Blessing of the Messiah. Brukatai Danai Lohen Yumelik Ha'olam Asherna Tan Lek Derek HaYeshua Yeshua Yeshua Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who's given us the way of salvation in the Messiah, Yeshua. Amen.
Matovu.
Matovu. O Haleka Yaakov, Mishkenoteka Yisrael, how goodly are thy tents, O Jacob. Thy tabernacles, Israel. Yaniv Aruch Adecha, Avol Vekteheka, Eshtakaveh El Heka, Kashma Yiratecha. And in thy great compassion, I will come into your house. There I will bow, there I will fear thy holiness, O Lord,
I love the house where you dwell and the place where your glory resides. I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend a knee before the Lord my Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation.
The Vishamru.
Vishamru Vene Israel. Et ha-shabbat, la-sod et ha-shabbat, le-do tamburit olam. Vishamru v'ne Yisrael, le-et ha-shabbat, la-sod et ha-shabbat, le-do tamburit olam. B'nei, O b'nei, b'nei Yisrael, B'nai Israel, Od Hili Olam. Vishamru, B'nai Israel, Et HaShabbat, Lasod Et HaShabbat, Ledo Tamburit Olam. Yisheshet Amim, Asah Adonai, Asah Adonai, Shemayim v'haaretz. Vishamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat, la-sod et ha-shabbat, le-do tamburit olam. Om ha-shvi shabbat ni-nafash, shabbat ni-nafash, Shabbat ni-nafash. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat, la-sod et ha-shabbat, le-do tamburit olam.
The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, All flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
Come before you now, and Lord, it's a critical time for Israel as the United States is preparing to withdraw from Syria. It's already causing threats from Israel's enemies to attack, and we just pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray there's a lot of rockets up there in Lebanon and Syria aimed at Israel, Lord, and we can smell war in the air, Lord. So we just pray that those rockets would blow up on the launch pads, that they would fall in the fields, that they would fall out of the skies, Lord, that they would fall in the desert, that they would fall in the sea, that they would not hit the villages or the cities or the schools that they're intended for or the homes. Lord, we pray that the people who shoot Israel would be located and dealt with, and we pray for the salvation of the Jewish nation, Lord, as they once again face war on their home front. We just pray, Lord, that they would turn to the one, the mighty one of Israel, the one who can save them. We pray that you open their eyes, because we know your word says that the fountain will be opened and rivers of water will come out, and they will see you. They'll look upon you whom they've pierced, as a father mourns for an only son, and they will be saved on that day. Lord, they will be saved. And we pray, Lord, for the Messianic community here in America. And I pray, Lord, that you would give our leadership the purity and holiness and humility of Eliakim from Isaiah 22. And that any spirit of Shebna that may be amongst our leaders would be removed, that you would remove the spirit of Shebna. Thank you, Lord. And I pray also, Lord, for the rabbis' conference this week. Lord, I just pray for vision. I pray for direction. I pray for a divine appointments as I go to the rabbi's conference, Lord, that you would give me divine appointments in favor, that you would open doors for me, and that you would give me an encounter with the living God as I go to this conference. Lord, I pray for all the rabbis that you would do something, give them an encounter with you, and that this would be a special leadership conference, Lord, for our movement. So I pray your anointing on this conference. I pray for those who are running it, that you strengthen them and bless them. And I thank you, Lord, for this, for the opportunity that you made a way for me to go to this conference. And now help me get there safely. And I pray for Rebbetzin as she goes to travel, as she goes to work, that you would just give your angels charge over her, keep her safe. Help us all catch our flights and do all that stuff easily without incident. I thank you for this service today in Yeshua's name. And Lord, we just pray one last thing. I pray for the salvation of our Jewish friends here in the United States, Lord. We pray that they would come to know their Messiah, that they would see, that they would, your word says, I will let you, if you seek me with your whole heart, I will let you find me. If you seek me, and this is in the Torah, if you seek me with all your heart, I will let you find me. If you seek Adonai, if you seek Hashem, if you seek the God of Israel with all your heart, he will let you find him. He's not too far away. He's not that you can't know him. He's not so busy with other things that he doesn't have time for you. The Bible says he knows the number of hairs on your head. It's written in the Psalms. He knows the number of days that you have in your life. He knows the day that you're born and the day that you die. And he knows everything about you. He's not a God that's too busy for you. You just have to get some quiet time and seek him. Why don't you do what I did and say, God of Israel, God of Elohe Avraham, Elohe Yitzchak, Elohe Yaakov, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, come into my life. If you're real, come into my life and reveal yourself to me. Reveal yourself to me. Just ask him to do that and then watch him. See what he does. In Yeshua's name, amen. Adonai Echad, Baruch. et Adonai Elohecha v'chol levavcha u'v'chol nafshecha u'v'chol me'odecha v'hayu ha'divarim ha'ele asher enochim etzelcha hayom al levavecha v'shinatam levanecha v'dibarta baham v'shivtecha b'veitecha u'v'lechtecha v'aderech u'v'shachbecha u'v'kumecha u'cheshavtam Liot al yadecha, v'hayu l'totafot b'neinecha, u'chetavtam, al mezuzot b'etecha, u'visharecha.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is his name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. And have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house, upon your gates.
Hallelujah. All right. Shabbat shalom, everyone. Is that all the Shabbat shalominess you have today? Can we do a little better than that? Come on. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
All right. Shalom in the home. I'm going to ask Wendell and Isaac to come carry the Torah. If Isaac, are you up to carrying it? Okay. All right. Would you all pray? I went to the post office to get the mail for the ministry today, and I seem to have misplaced my keys. So would Anthony, would you pray that I find my keys? Would you?
Father, we just pray right now that those keys will be there, so when I go, I won't have to chase anybody down to get them, Lord. They'll be waiting on me to get there, Lord. They'll be found, so Rabbi won't have that on his mind as he travels to this rabbi's conference. Bless him as he goes, Lord. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. 12. Yeah, I'm going after your message. Malchutcha malchut kol olamim u'mimshaltecha b'chol dor v'dor Adonai melech Adonai malach Adonai imloch le'olam v'ed Adonai oz li'amo yitain Adonai varech et amo b'shalom. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord,
and there is nothing like your works. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion is throughout all generations. The Lord reigns. The Lord has reigned. The Lord will reign forever and ever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace.
Amen. I receive that. Do you receive that today?
Amen.
The Lord's peace and strength. He promises he'll strengthen his people and give them peace. Shalom. Hallelujah.
Right. Just one strum on the guitar. It's not in the monitor. Is it in the house?
Maybe a louder strum.
I hear it acoustically, but not in the monitor.
Via nusu misanecha mi panecha
Ki mitzion tetzé Torah. Ki mitzion tetzé Torah. Udavar Adonai miYerushalayim. Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah. Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah. Le'amo Yisrael b'kedushato.
When the ark would travel, Moses would say, Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate you flee from you. For from Zion will go forth the Torah, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Blessed be he who in his holiness gave the Torah to his people Israel. Amen. Please be seated. Ya'amod Asher ben Zedekiah, Baruchu et Adonai Hamavorach,
Baruch Adonai Hamrach L'olam Va'ed,
Baruch Adonai Hamrach L'olam Va'ed, Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam, Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Ha'amim, V'na'atan Lanu et Torato, Baruch Atah Adonai Noteng Ha'Torah.
Amen. Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Blessed is the Lord, the Blessed One for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has chosen us from all peoples and given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, today's Torah portion is Vayera, and it's from Exodus chapter 6 through chapter 9, and it means, and I appeared. You know, today we're starting to see the move toward the Exodus in this book of Exodus, Shemot, because, you know, Pharaoh exemplifies all the people in the world that say there is no God. There's a lot of people. I know this week there was a lady who was sworn into Congress, and she wouldn't say God or wouldn't put her hand on the Bible. She was sworn in on a book of the Constitution, and they say that she is actually an atheist. But if you observe the new Congress, we're going to have a wild ride for the next 2 years, because some of those people are really something else. And you know God is the master of all that he has created. So people come and go, but God stays the same. And God's going to welcome Pharaoh into his world, as we see today. You know, God for many years has heard the moans, the cries, and the begging of the Israelites to be redeemed from Egypt. And so God tells Moses, he says, here is what is going to happen. And he tells him five things. And if you have ever been to a Passover Seder, then you know that these five things relate back to the five cups that's on the table, on the Passover table. God said, I'm going to bring you out. I will free you. God says, I am going to deliver you. And that is going to be deliverance. And God says, I am going to redeem you, and I will take you as my people, and I will bring each of you into the land. And so that is the five cups on the Seder table: the sanctification, plagues, redemption, the Ha'el, and the large cup is the cup of Elijah. And so God starts to bring the Israelites out through signs and wonders. But Pharaoh still will not let the Israelites go, because he feels that he is a God. And he tells Moses that he doesn't know this God of Israel. Who is this God? But God is wanting Pharaoh and also all of Egypt and also the world that existed at that time. He is God, and he is the one that exists. You see, when you deny God, just like Pharaoh did, people deny God from the fact that they say he doesn't exist, that he has no providence in the world and everything. He's not involved in anything in the world, and that God cannot make anything change. You see, they want him to be like their pagan idols that are just stone and wood. They don't speak, they don't move, and they have no emotions whatsoever, unless you tip them over and they break. That's about the only thing they do, is they are breakable. There is none like the God of Israel, just like we said a few minutes ago. So God begins to invoke the plagues upon the Egyptians. As the plagues come upon them, they become insecure. They find that their pride, their possessions, their superiority are being challenged. And they are also suffering very physically from the things that God is putting upon them, the plagues. There's 10 of them. If you read the Torah portion today, you'll know that there's 7 mentioned in this parasha today. The first one was the plague of the blood. And what did God do that? He made the Nile River, which was considered a god. Pharaoh considered the Nile River as a god because to the Egyptian people, it was their life. They had to have the Nile River to exist. It watered their crops. They bathed in it. They consumed the water for nourishment. So it was their whole life was round up actually in this Nile River to be existing. But God changed it to blood. And I think when he changed it to blood, the Nile was cold. And I think that after God changed it to blood, I think it may have been a little warm like human blood. It doesn't say that in the scripture, but I think probably if they tried to dip it out and filter it, they found that it was not cold water, but it was probably warm water. The next plague God sends is the frogs. And those frogs are in everything. I read a lot of commentaries, and it says no matter what you picked up, it had frogs coming out of it. It was full of frogs. Everything in where Pharaoh lived was covered in frogs. And the third plague was the plague of the lice, or louse. Some of you may not have heard that term. But they were infestation of everything, cattle and mankind. And the thing about lice and louses are that they eat the flesh of the animal that they're on, whether it's a human or a cow or a horse, that's how they survive. They were like a leech. They eat the flesh. The fourth plague was the plague of the wild animals that came and it harmed not only the livestock but the people. The fifth plague was the disease upon the livestock, an epidemic that they died. And then the most unusual plague, I think, that I was reading this week was the plague of the boils. And God told Moses to take soot out of the furnace and to cast it into the air. And when he cast it into the air, the land of Egypt, not Goshen where the Israelites are at, but the land of Egypt was covered in boils. Every person, every man, woman, child, all the animals were infested with boils all over their body. And then the final plague that was in this parasha today was the plague of the hail and the fire that fell upon. And what was interesting, the fire did not melt the hail, and the hail did not put out the fire. They were together, hail and fire, which hail would be water, frozen water, and fire. So it was unusual that it fell together, but it did not destroy each other. So what, you know, God did not use magic like Pharaoh's advisors did when they put the snakes down and picked them up and made them sticks again. In Isaiah 62, just to close, sort of wind up this parasha today, we see the end of the world. It says, salvation comes and his reward is with him and his work is before him. But why did God use the plagues? Why did he just show himself to the Egyptians? You see, God wanted to let the world know that he is the divine creator of heaven and earth, and he is the master of all. Daniel 4:17 says, God declares the verdict so that we know he is sovereign over all kingdoms on the earth. And he uses the lowest of people. He doesn't use kings and princes. He used shepherds and people like that. He used the lowest people that permit him to work through them, and they become great people. That's what God does. But what is our greatest need today? I think our greatest need today, just to close, is forgiveness. And God has provided a Savior to us, which is Yeshua. Shabbat Shalom.
Israel of the Adonai, the Yad Moshe,
And this is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel, command of the Lord through Moses' hand.
To those who hold fast to her,
and all who uphold her are blessed. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord, and we shall return. Renew our days as of old.
Amen.
You may be seated.
That's my dad used to say, 20 years ago I was better. That's another version of renew our days as of old. I thought it was funny.
Praise the Lord. It was funny, Rabbi. Welcome, everyone. I think we're all family here this morning. It's good to see you, Deborah. It's good to be here this morning. Shabbat Shalom. And I want to welcome everyone online. And you're watching online, go to Facebook, for Zion's sake, Facebook, and message us how things are going, or send us an email. And tell us how you like the service, and we welcome you to come and join us in person at some point. We are your local connection to Israel, so if you're in this area and you're close by, I think that God would really smile upon you coming to worship with us. And if we don't do this work together, who will stand up for Israel in our area? And we can all do our own thing. We can love Israel in our own way, in our different ways. But if we don't come together in unity to work for the cause of Israel, then we're just, our light is just scattered little points of nothing. But if we come together and we work together to lift up Israel and to lift up Yeshua, the light of the world, to the Jewish people, then I believe that we can really accomplish something great here. So if God's calling you to be a part of that, I want to invite you to come. And in faith, you know, you may think, you know, this is a small place, it's a little strange, you don't want to be, but do it in faith. You know, if God's telling you to do it, you know, just do it. you know, because the devil's going to try and get in your way. And so if God wants you here, move heaven and earth and fight against the devil to get here, because he's fighting against us working together in unity to bring the Jewish people back to Israel, to accomplish the plan that he has to lift up Israel and get ready for the coming of the Messiah. So Rabbi's got a great message. Stick around. It'll be in a few minutes after worship, about 30 minutes or so, and Rabbi's going to bring a message about the plan. So stay tuned. And I do also want to say I hope everyone had a nice holiday season with your family. Did you? Amen. Everybody get to see your families. And our kids are still on a little vacation, and that's coming to an end. We've got the new year coming up, and I believe God's been speaking to us about direction, what we're going to be doing this year, and I think he's got some new things for us. We're in a time of transition. We're in a time of reevaluation of what our goals, what God's, you know, direction for us is this year. But I believe he's got something special. And if you want to be a part of what God's doing for Israel in this area, as I said again, You need to come. You need to be a part of it. You need to be involved. And if we all do our own thing in our little ways, we can't accomplish. And we cannot be a testimony for Israel if we are all doing our own thing. But if we come together, we can really make a difference. So I want to exhort you to not just do your own thing and think that your testimony in a church or this or that or the other is really, it's more of a testimony if we come together and we accomplish something together than it is if everybody's out there doing their own little things. And I believe that with all my heart. And I talk to so many people who say, I love Israel. But why don't you come and stand with Israel? This is Israel. Amen? This is Israel. So if you say you love you Israel, then do something about it and come and be with the Jewish people right here in East Tennessee, Southwest Virginia. This is Israel. And if you're not loving Israel here, you can't love Israel over there. And we need you. We really need you. We're crying out. We're saying we need help. So come and help. If someone was in help, if Yeshua was in help and he asked for a cup of water, would you give him a cup of water? Would you? Okay, so would you drive 2 miles? Would you drive 2 hours to give Yeshua a cup of water? Would you drive 5 hours to give Yeshua a cup of water? Yeshua is here. The testimony of Israel is here. If you are really serious about loving Israel, you need to be here. Amen? Hallelujah. That's Rebbitson Dawn's little sermon for the day. Hallelujah. All right, so we got new direction. God's going to put life in our year. Amen. He's the only one that can do it. So stay tuned. We got exciting things coming up. And by the way, Rabbi is going to have a little meeting. I've got to leave early, but he's going to have a meeting following the service, so stay tuned. Just stay here, and we're going to talk about Passover and other things coming up for the spring, okay? And so those dates will be coming out, and we are also working on the fellowship hall. I know you guys, we've been missing our fellowship over there, right? But Brother Bill, I want to, everybody, Brother Bill, would you stand up, please, and just give him a round of applause. He's been working every day that I'm here. I see him coming in and out with Ron and some of the other guys to do stuff over there. And he's just really taking it to heart. So I want to thank Brother Bill for really helping us. And we got an estimate on the carpet. Rabbi will probably tell you more details, but it's a reasonable amount, $1,000, I think. I'm going to let him do it because I'll screw it up if I do it. So anyway, he's going to tell you about the estimates on the carpet. But that's coming next. Pray for the fellowship hall. Continue to give to our building fund because we need to finish that project. And it's still going to take some funds to do that. So that's all I have. Is there anything I missed, Rabbi? No. All right. I'm going to turn it back over to him for our tithes and offerings.
Praise the Lord. Can you hear me? All right. Can you hear me nice and loud?
Loud and proud.
Ah, I hate those lousy lice. That's what I learned from the message today. Praise the Lord. All right, I do want to update you briefly on the fellowship hall. Brother William asked me a few days ago how it's coming, what do we have to do with the wall. We had, for those watching, we had floods in our fellowship hall, and so we had to tear out the walls and the carpets. And so there was a pastor and his father who came and volunteered their time. It's actually, he started here. This was his church before it was our synagogue. And then it was another church after him, and it is a Covenant Church of God Pastor Michael Booker, he somebody put me in touch with him, and he volunteered to do it for free. And he rebuilt our wall in the fellowship hall, the whole wall, him and his dad. And they're coming back to put another layer of mud over it this week. And then they're going to sand it, and then it'll be ready to paint. Once it's dried and sanded, it'll be ready to paint. I have met with an estimator for the carpet, and it looks like it's going to be very reasonable. He didn't give me a price, but he did give me a price for a better carpet than this, than what we had in there. Which, and that price he gave me was $1,500 for a better carpet. Now, I don't know that we need a better carpet, so I don't know what the price he's going to give us for this kind of carpet. You see what I'm saying? So I'm waiting to hear. But the reason I say that to you is I also had him come up here and give me, look at this and measure. I had him look at the hallway downstairs and measure. And I'm going to see if we can get more than one thing done. If we can get the hallway done and the fellowship hall, or the hallway and the synagogue done, carpeted as well. And see if we could afford to do both, wouldn't that be great? That'd be awesome.
Yes, it would.
Okay, so that's all I'm going to say. And I'll save the rest for my brief meeting afterward. We've just picked a date for the Passover and a backup date if that doesn't work. We have to get it verified, and there was one or two other matters of business that I wanted to talk about, and very brief. So, Miss Dawn.
Ready for a time.
Yeah. Okay. Well, in a Messianic Jewish synagogue, we don't charge you. You don't have to pay to come. You don't have to pay to be a member of Messianic Judaism. We exist by love offerings, by faith, and the Bible calls it a tithe. If you're Jewish and you're watching today, if you read in Bereshit chapter 13 and 14, you'll see where it says Abraham gave a tithe to Melchizedek. Christians know him as Melchizedek. He gave a tithe, 10%. Jacob promised when he was wrestling at Bethel. He promised when he encountered the God of Israel at Bethel. He said, "If you bless me, and you're with me, and you bless me, I'll give you a tithe. I'll give you 10% of all that I have. I'll give you 10%." So we go on the biblical tithing system, which is 10%. Is what we ask of people who come to the congregation. And then those who are visiting, if they want to give a love offering, a gift, that's their decision. That's a matter of the heart. But we never charge. A lot of houses of worship charge you membership, and they charge you annual membership, and we don't charge. So you can come here and not be charged. What you're giving is comes from your heart. And so with that said, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these tithes and offerings today. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to give back to you just a little bit of what you've given to us, Lord. You've given us so much. You've blessed us and increased us. You've prospered us, and you've blessed the work of our hands. You've multiplied us, and in some cases, we have too much stuff. And Lord, so we just pray that you you would just be blessed as we give today, that you'd bless the giver and bless the gift, bless the offering, bless the building fund offerings, bless the offering for the poor in Israel that we take up, Lord, the spare change offering that we take up today, Lord. Bless each one. And if you're online and you'd like to give, you can, on our website, you can give by PayPal or by credit card. There's two ways to give. If you give us your name and address, we can receipt you. And may God bless you abundantly, exceeding abundantly above all that you could hope, think, or ask, through Yeshua, our Messiah. Amen.
glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the praises of our King rise among us. Let it rise. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the praises of our King rise among us. Let it rise. Oh, The Lord my God is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. For the Lord my God is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. La 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 la. Come on, let's dip into that well. Everybody, let's like take your hand and dip into some water like you're dipping in water. There you go. Let's dip into the well of joy. Come on. With joy I drink the living water from the well that never can run dry. For the Lord my God is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. For the Lord my God is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. La 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 la.
We sing glory, honor,
Spirit heal. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You're my friend, and you are my brother. Will adore you.
the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath, and living water. Such a marvelous mystery. Praise the Lord. We're going to go to the Lord's table. If you could just turn me up a little bit, please, Carol. We're going to go to the Lord's table, the Shulchan Adonai, the table of the Lord. So if you're at home and you're a believer and you'd like to join us, if you have some matzah or some crackers or some bread, if you have whatever you have available to you, if you have some fruit of the vine, some Welch's or store brand, grape juice, Manischewitz, Carmel. feel free to join us and prepare yourself as we come to the Lord's table, the Shulchan Adonai. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. All right. Now, I haven't been able to get Maria for some time, but are you all right today? Okay, I want to get you. And Anna, would you like to come and serve today? Would you come and serve with Maria? All right. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam borei pri hagafen. Amen. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Amen. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth, and Yeshua the Messiah, the bread of life, who rose from the earth on the third day. On the night he was betrayed, on Passover, Yeshua took the third cup, the cup of redemption, taken at every Passover meal. And he spoke of this cup, this third cup of redemption. He said, this cup is the new covenant, the Brit Chadashah, the new covenant in my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sin. And then Yeshua took the afikoman, the middle layer of three pieces of bread on every Passover table. He took the middle layer and he broke it, and he gave the afikoman to his disciples at the Passover table. And he said, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And so by doing that, he wasn't saying that we're having Passover every week. He was saying, like Thanksgiving, we have the holiday Thanksgiving once a year, but we should give thanks every day. Amen? And so when we come to the Lord's table, we remember his Passover, but the holiday this year starts April 19th, and that's the holiday of Passover. But we remember what he did for us, and we should remember it every day. And this reminds us of what he did for us. So let's prepare our hearts to come. If you're not a believer, if you'd like to meet the Messiah and you're watching today and you'd like to meet Yeshua, just close your eyes and pray with me. This prayer, right, simple prayer right here. Close your eyes right where you are and just pray along with me. Dear God, I sense your presence in this service today. And I believe that you sent your son.
Yeshua.
Jesus. To die in my place. Not a bull or a goat or a lamb. But your perfect son. Spotless and unblemished. Crucified.
On the altar.
At Jerusalem.
On the cross.
Outside the city gates.
For my sins.
Wash me, Lord. And make me a new creation. And put my name in your book of life. Forever. In Yeshua's name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, God bless you. And if God's doing something with you as you're watching today, feel free to contact me, email me, or message me privately, Rabbi Joe, and just say, I accepted Yeshua today. I have a gift for you. I'll send you. And so just let me know if you received the Lord today. And if you met the Messiah now, and so I'm going to turn it over to the ladies, and I encourage everybody, if you have sin in your life that you need to confess, this is a great time to get right with the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Come as you're ready. Thank you, Father. We just bless you. Thank you for your faithfulness, your goodness, your loving kindness. Your mercy endures forever. Your mercies are new every morning. We thank you, Lord, that you loved us first. You loved us first. It wasn't because we loved you. It's because you loved us. Hallelujah. And gave your Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And this is the gospel, that Yeshua is the Son of God, that he died for our sins and was buried 3 days and three nights. He rose from the dead on the third day, conquering the power of sin and death. If you believe that in your heart and confess Yeshua with your mouth as Lord, you will be saved. Hallelujah. L'chaim, to life. Test 1, 2. Buckle my shoe. Test 3, 4. Shut the door. Test 5, 6. Pickups. I'll do my Bill Clinton. Test 5, 6. Pick up sticks. Woo! Almost tripped on the cord. Oh, take it when? Okay. All right. Can you hear me now? All right. Why did Adele cross the road? Just to say hello from the other side. Some people didn't know it. I'm surprised. But anyway, well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to pray for the children and pray for the message that we're going to bring right now. So Isaac, are you going to get the Facebook ready? Or somebody else? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the kids, and we just bless them, Lord, with all the blessings of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Rachel, Leah, Rebecca, Deborah, Miriam, and we just pray all the blessings of the patriarchs and the matriarchs upon them, Lord. Pray, Lord, that you would help them, prepare them for life, Lord. Prepare them to be adults. Prepare them, Lord, for college. Prepare them, Lord, for their careers, their future. Prepare their helpmates in life, and prepare them for their helpmates, their future helpmates that some of them will be with in life, Lord. Prepare them to be for that time, Lord. We just pray for their health in the new year. We pray for their health and their strength. We pray, Lord, that they grow into godly young men and women, and that they would be a help to their parents and to their teachers, and that they would learn paths of righteousness and not evil, Lord, because paths of wickedness leads to the wages of sin is death, is what your word says. The wages of sin is death, Lord, and that's all it brings. Wickedness, sin brings death. Simple as that. So help them, Lord. And I pray, Lord, for our friends, those who aren't with us today. Pray for the Fritzes, and we pray for Ron, and pray for Karen Gaby, Lord. Would you lift her arms and strengthen her with all taking care of her parents, Lord. And we just bless her and Sharon Philippi and Carolyn. Anyone else who's not with us today, Lord, Earl, we remember them today, and we whatever their needs are, whatever they're going through, Lord, we pray. Hallelujah. And thank you, Lord. Thank you for this message now, this word. Bring forth your message, Lord, for the people. Bring forth this word, and in Yeshua's name, anoint it, bind the strong man, bind the enemy, and bring forth your word to us. Amen. Hallelujah. Welcome, friends on Facebook. Are we on Facebook? Shalom. Everybody say shalom, Facebook friends. Hallelujah. Today's message is called The Plan. It's a prophetic message. And, you know, I have found that I have to repeat things through the years because people either don't hear them or they don't get them the first time or the second time or the third or fourth or fifth. And sometimes Paul talks about the milk of the word, the pure milk of the word being our salvation. The message of salvation is the pure milk of the word. But then he tells us to go beyond to the meat of the word. After we learn about our salvation, see, many churches are stuck on the milk of the word. And week after week, you hear the gospel. And all you hear is the gospel. That's the milk of the word. Now, that's not a bad word, but people need meat. People, you can't live, they should have a scripture, man should not live on milk alone, but by meat too. You need the meat of the word along with the milk. Amen? And too many folks out there, I'm not naming names or churches, but it's milk every week. And I was talking to a brother the other day, and he came here, and he's the carpet guy. And he told me that you know, he had a Pentecostal background, but he goes to one of these mega churches. And I said, I bet you don't see much healing there or deliverance or, you know, from demons and things like that. I bet you don't see too much activity that way. He said, no, but there's good teaching. I said, well, that's okay. Well, as long as you're happy, you know, God bless you. He said, my pastor doesn't believe in, he says he doesn't believe he has the gift of healing. So he said, my pastor doesn't believe that he has the gift of healing. If the guy doesn't believe he has the gift of healing, he shouldn't be the pastor. He shouldn't be standing in the pulpit if he doesn't believe that he can, like the Bible says, lay hands on the sick and they will be healed. It doesn't say only the pastor. It just says lay hands on the sick and they shall be healed. And I believe it's in Mark 16. Amen? But what the pastor lacks is not the gift of healing. That pastor lacks the gift of faith. He hasn't seen healing. Now, I'm not boasting or intending to boast, but I was in Florida at a conference 2 weeks ago. A woman came up in a wheelchair and asked for prayer. I prayed over her. I said, how do you feel? She wanted healing. I prayed over her. I said, how do you feel? She said, I feel good. I said, would you like to get up? She said, yes, I would. I said, take my hand. Let's get up and take a walk. She got up out of that wheelchair and we walked. I think other people have seen that happen in our congregation. We've seen it doing at other churches. And we did the service at the mall. Brother got out of his wheelchair, you know. And it's not anything in me. It's God. It's God. It's His power to heal. God, if you're a religion, whatever your religion is, you may have a beautiful synagogue or church. You may have a fancy pastor with a beautiful suit and a fancy pulpit and a fancy praise team and all the classes. And you may have kids' class with pinball machines and donuts and coffee and all these great things. But if you don't have the power of God, you've got nothing. If you don't have the power of God, you've got nothing. Nothing. Zippo. Zilch. Amen? And that's what I was looking for, because I had all that. I had a beautiful synagogue in where I come from, a beautiful big synagogue with thousands of members who wore Armani suits and wore Brooks Brothers suits, and the women wore, you know, fancy clothing, and everybody looked so nice. And the preacher, the pastor, the rabbi got up, and he would give a nice sermon, and there was davening, and the Hebrew saying the prayers. And you know what? I walked in and walked out, and it was no different. It was just time. The only thing that passed was time. Because what was missing was in my life was the power of God. One day when I was 28 years old, I realized, you know what I need? I need the power of God. God, if you're real, come into my life. If you're real, come into my life, because I need your power. If you're the God who parted the Dead Sea, if you're the God who created the heavens and the earth, if you're the God who named the stars, if you're the God who did all these things, amen? If you're the God that raised your son from the dead, if you're the God who heals the sick, then show me. I want to see that power. And you know, you don't even have to look far. Just look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor. Look around you. See, look at a person. That's a miracle. Yeah. If I'm looking at you and you're looking at me, you're looking at a miracle. Because God formed you in the womb. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen? Each one of you is fearfully and wonderfully made by God. Your mama didn't make you. Your daddy didn't make you. They didn't have any part in it. They didn't pick your hair color. They didn't know whether you'd be blonde or brunette. They didn't know whether you'd have light skin or dark skin. They didn't know whether you'd be short or tall, a little pudgy or skinny. They didn't know. They didn't know whether you'd be a basketball player or an artist, a clarinet player or a poet. They didn't know when they had you what you'd become. Amen? You're a living miracle. You're a testimony to the living God. Just every one of you, every one of us is a walking example of the power of God. Amen? All right. I could preach on that. But I want to say one last thing about that. So I'm talking to this man who told me he goes to this church where the pastor, and maybe that's why God sent him there, to tell the pastor, you know, you can lay hands on the sick and pray for them, and maybe they'll get healed. Try it. Maybe that's why God sent him to that church. Because this man told me he went to install a carpet one day, and he showed up at the house, and the ambulance was out front. And he told me, he said, I went to the door, and the man, the husband, had died. He showed up at the house, and the husband had died, and the wife was there, and she was just, you know, in tears. She was shaking. She was a mess. And the ambulance people had gone out to get the stretcher, to put the husband on the stretcher and take him away. And the carpet man said to the wife, he said, "Can I pray? Do you mind if I pray for your husband? Praying that God will bring him back to life?" And she said, "No, she didn't mind." So he got down on his knees and he prayed that God would raise the man from the dead. And you know what? He told me this. Now, I didn't see it, but he said the man came, he woke up. He came back to life. The guy prayed, this carpet layer prayed for the man on the floor to come back to life, and he came back to life. The people from the ambulance came back in after they had reported to the hospital and the authorities that there was a dead, a code blue over here at such and such street, whatever, you know. We have a dead person. After they had already called it in, they came back in, and the guy was alive. So then, story takes another twist, gets a little strange now. But then the woman was talking. They did take the man to the hospital, and the woman was talking with the carpet man afterward, and she said, "You know, my husband, I don't really know what to do because he said he was ready to go home. He said he was ready to go home." And it was her that wasn't ready to let him go. But she realized, maybe I should let him go. It's his time. And so this man, this carpet layer, he prayed with her. He said, "God, your will be done. If it's your will for him to live, let him live. If it's not, take him home." And they got a call right after that. The hospital called and said he's gone. He came back, and then he's gone. Isn't that something? Amazing. This is an amazing testimony. Power of God. Yeah, it's a little weird, but it's the power. You couldn't make that up, could you? I don't know. I couldn't make that up. I've never heard such a testimony. Anyway, praise the Lord. I'll tell you one thing. When you're dying, there's the line between life and death is a very fine line. And when you cross that line, you know, and you cross back, you can cross back and forth. And it's possible to come back. It's possible not to come back. And sometimes people have said they met God on the other side, and God said, "Do you want to? It's not your time. Go back." I've heard stories like that. And I've heard stories where people said, God said, it's your time. I'm taking, you know, come with me." You know, and that's it. All right, today's message is the plan. And this is Anthony talked about the new Congress and people being elected coming into Congress, all the threats being made toward the president, threats of impeachment, foul language being used. One new congresswoman, she's a Palestinian, and she probably doesn't like the Jewish people either, but she said of the president, she called him an MF. Said we need to impeach that MF. And we're going, you know, I don't know where these Congress people get the idea that they have such power. They have to get the full Senate's vote, at least two-thirds vote of the Senate, I believe, to impeach. And plus, you have to have a crime. You have to have a crime. Not even just a crime. You need a high crime and a misdemeanor. High crimes and misdemeanors. And we have no crime. But they keep calling for impeachment, and they keep calling the president names and using foul language. This woman, Tlaib, she's one of them. And then another guy down there in Beto O'Rourke in Texas or something, using foul language. What is it with these politicians and cussing? And even Nancy Pelosi said, "It's not the way my generation talked, but maybe it's the way the young generation talks." I don't think it's the way the young generation talks. I think it's the way foul-mouthed people with foul minds talk. Amen. Amen? I think it's the way people who ought to have their mouth washed out with soap. But the plan is the Bible says, in the old folks will dream dreams in the last days. It says, in the last days, the old folks will dream dreams, and the young people will see visions. You know why the old people will dream dreams? Because they sleep more. The old people dream dreams because they sleep more, so they dream. The young people don't sleep as much, so they have visions. That's just my theory, but I'm crossing over from youth to older age, so I'm starting to see that pattern arise. But anyway, So the old men will dream dreams and the young men will see visions. And in the end of days, God says he'll pour out his spirit on all flesh. And these things will happen. Joel 2, Acts chapter 2 says that. I do not claim to be a prophet. If I am, it is because God has revealed that to you. If I'm a prophet, it's because God has revealed it to you, not because I said I am. Amen? Hallelujah. 3 years ago and some months before the election of Donald Trump as president, I was reading in Daniel 8 and I had a vision. And God opened the prophet Daniel's words to me and revealed in Daniel 8 several things that Donald Trump would do. Well, first of all, he revealed to me, see, Daniel 8, if you don't know, there's a ram that's Persia, and it's bucking wildly to the north, south, and west, and there's a goat from the west, which it says is Greece, and that goat has a horn, and the goat flies over the whole earth, and it crashes into the ram and destroys its power. Now, in the Bible, prophetically speaking, a beast like the goat or the ram represents a nation, okay? The goat or the ram represents a nation. And the horn, so let's see if you turn to Daniel 8 here for a second. Okay, it says, Daniel 8, chapter, verse 1, in the third year of the reign of Belshazzar, the king, a vision appeared to me, Daniel, subsequent to the one which appeared to me previously. I looked in the vision, and while I was looking, I was in the citadel of Susa, which is in the province of Elam. And I looked in the vision, and I myself was beside the Ulai Canal. Then I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a ram which had two horns was standing in front of the canal. Now the two horns were long, but one was longer than the other, with the longer one coming up last. I saw the ram butting westward, northward, southward, and no other beast could stand before him, nor was there anyone to rescue him from his power. But he did as he pleased and magnified himself. While I was observing, behold, a male goat was coming from the west over the surface of the whole earth without touching the ground, and the goat had a conspicuous horn between his eyes. He came up to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing in front of the canal, and rushed at him in his mighty wrath. I saw him come beside the ram, and he was enraged at him, and he struck the ram and shattered his two horns, and the ram had no strength to withstand him. So he hurled him to the ground and trampled on him, and there was none to rescue the ram from his power. Then the male goat magnified himself exceedingly, but as soon as he was mighty, the large horn was broken, and in its place there came up four conspicuous horns toward the four winds of heaven. Okay, I'm going to stop there. So as I said, a beast prophetically is a nation. Everybody say a beast is a nation. Okay, a horn, what does a beast use a horn for? What does a deer, a 10-point buck, or an elk, or a moose use its horn for? To fight, either defensive or offensive, amen? It uses its horns to fight. An elephant uses its tusks. A rhinoceros uses his horn as a weapon of warfare, amen? So this goat with one horn crashed into the ram, which we later find out. I didn't read the whole chapter. You can read it for yourself. We find out that the ram is Persia, Medo-Persia, which today is Iran, and actually the territory where ISIS was, Iraq and Syria, the area of the Kurds, and the area where I in parts of southern Turkey, the area where ISIS was is the area of the Medes. Okay, so praise the Lord. So let's go on here for a second. We'll go on. So this ram. So I was reading this chapter, and I'm, you know, about this goat flying over the whole world without touching the ground, crashing into the ram and destroying it by breaking its horn. The horn represents not only the kingdom or the nation, but it represents the king or the president, the leader. Everybody say the leader. So the horn represents the leader and the military power of that country. What is our president? He's called the commander-in-chief, right? When you break the power of the U.S. military, are you breaking the power of the commander-in-chief? That's right. If you break the power of the U.S. military, you've broken the power of the commander-in-chief, because he's the head of the military. Amen? And the armed forces. Praise God. So that's what happens here. What we're seeing, so in Daniel 8, we see this goat from the west, this king, flies over the whole earth, and he destroys Iran's military and their power and their military might, and all of their power is broken by this goat. All right. So let me go on. So I was reading in Daniel 8 and I had a vision. God opened the prophet's words to me and revealed several things that Donald Trump... Well, first of all, what did God showed me? I was like, God, who is this guy that comes out from the West and destroys Iran? Now, why would I... I'm reading this chapter for a year. This is 2015 now, a year before the presidential election. I'm reading Daniel 8 and I'm asking the Lord, what is this about? And the Lord showed me that Iran had to be taken out. Iran's nuclear weapons and their military have to be destroyed. And not only that, their power, their leadership, their regime has to be taken out, because they're rotten. And they want to destroy Israel. And they want to destroy the United States. But God's not as concerned with the United States as he is with Israel. And I'll tell you why. Because the Bible doesn't say that Iran destroys Israel with a nuclear weapon. Nowhere does it say that. In fact, Zechariah 8 says the Lord is zealous over Zion and he will dwell in Jerusalem. Amen. Amen? And Zechariah 14 says the Lord will set foot on the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem, Israel. He will set foot when he returns. Zechariah chapter 14 tells us that. Zechariah 12 and chapter 14 tell us that when all the nations of the world will attack Israel, the Lord himself will come and fight for Israel, and he will save the Jewish nation, and all of God's people anywhere in the world will be saved on that day, because the Lord will come as a mighty warrior and fight in battle for his people. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I asked the Lord, I said, who is this goat that flies over the whole earth and destroys the nuclear power? This is a prophecy for our day. Now, I know full well that it's talking about Alexander the Great. I know that the initial prophecy is talking about Alexander the Great and how Alexander pushed eastward and he met Darius the Mede on the Battle of Gaugamela in 331 and the Battle of Issus, interestingly. He defeated Darius at the Battle of Issus, and he took over, destroyed Darius the Mede, Darius the Third, and he took over the Persian Empire. Alexander the Great did it, and his rule lasted about 8 years, amazingly. So I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, but the prophet, if you read on in the chapter, the prophet Gabriel shows up and he says, this is not for now, Daniel. This is not for 2,500 years ago. This is for the end of days. Amen. This prophecy I give you is not for now. It's for the end of days. He says it twice. For the acharit hayamim. Everybody say the acharit hayamim. The end of days. The very end of days. So this prophecy was for the end of days. And so I said, now if you don't believe that prophecy has dual, you have to believe that prophecies can be fulfilled twice. Let me give you one example. People went through Christmas, okay? All right, so in Isaiah 7:14 it says, a sign shall be given to King Ahaz, a sign shall be given. And an Alma, a virgin, will conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. And that will be the sign given to the king that he will not be defeated in battle. Amen? The sign is that a virgin will conceive and bear a son named Emmanuel, God with us. Well, that prophecy did come true in the time of Ahaz, the king, in Isaiah 7:14, 700 years before the birth of Jesus. However, the prophecy was re-fulfilled in the coming of the Messiah, that a virgin would conceive and bear a son, and his name would be called Emmanuel. Yes, that's one of his names, God with us. But his name is Yeshua, salvation. And he is God with us. So the prophecy is fulfilled twice. Amen? Do you see that? I could give you many examples where prophecies are fulfilled more than one time, but I'm not going to take the time to do that. So what God showed me, and this is not a political message, but I asked him, really, it isn't. I asked God, who is this goat? Who destroys Iran? And it said, it was interesting, because it said, once this goat with the horn defeats the ram, Persia, and Media and Persia, Iran, modern-day Iran, and destroys their military and breaks the horns off its head. And I said, who is it? And it was during the election, and it hit me. It said, it's a he, so it couldn't have been Hillary Clinton, and it couldn't have been Carly Fiorina, because this was 9 months before the election. And I couldn't see Mike Huckabee, you know, bringing the U.S. military all across the whole earth, flying over the world to destroy. I just couldn't see it, you know, gentle Mike Huckabee. I couldn't see anybody. But then it says that with the guy that did it, says a man, a male goat. The goat was a male. And it says that once he did it, he would magnify himself exceedingly. And I thought, that's Donald Trump. Surely that's Donald Trump. Donald Trump's going to be president, and he's going to attack Iran. He's going to knock their military back into the Stone Age. He's going to destroy their nuclear capability. No other president, President Bush, President Carter, President Clinton, President Obama, would have the chutzpah. Why? If they did, they would have done it. None of them attacked Iran. Iran's been attacking us since they took our, was it 29 hostages or 30 in 1979, 30 hostages. They took the Iranian hostage crisis of 1979, where the Iranian regime changed and a religious zealot, far right, the Ayatollah Khomeini took power, and the secular government was kicked out of the Shah of Iran. And the Iranians, they took 30 people in our embassy and Marines, U.S. Marines, hostage. And ever since that time, the Iranians have been killing our soldiers. They blew up our barracks, our Marine barracks in Lebanon in 1982. The Iranians did it. During the Iraq War, they would put roadside bombs. They were supplying roadside bombs, which were blowing up. You see these commercials for these charities that are helping soldiers, wounded warrior project and all that. These charities that are helping wounded warriors. Why are they wounded? Largely, many of them, because IEDs went off and blew up their Humvee or their tank, and they lost their legs, or they had brain injuries, or they lost limbs, arms, eyes. And they need help. They need special wheelchairs. They need homes. They need assistance. So the Iranians, we can thank the Iranians for a lot of that. The Iranians have been wreaking havoc in the Middle East. They're in Syria. They've been supplying Hezbollah with rockets. In fact, you know what the Iranians are doing? The Iranians have been sending rockets on civilian airliners filled with rockets, sending them into Lebanon and to Syria, sending civilian airliners filled with rockets, with missiles. That's their new way of doing it, so they not go undetected. But of course, the Israeli, you know, intelligence is better than most all the intelligence of the world, and they picked up on it. There's
thousands of rockets in Lebanon, provided by the Iranians. The Iranians tried provided rockets for Hamas in the south, and they're no good. They're rotten, and they need to be taken out. And there's Jimmy Carter didn't take them out. We sent in some soldiers, some helicopters. They shot them down or they crashed. We failed. The only person who was able to get his, you know who got his people out of Iran? He ran for president in 1992. You know who that was? Who got his people out? Ross Perot. Ross Perot took a team of commandos into Iran, and some of his men had been taken hostage. He got his men out. But the U.S. government couldn't get our people out. The Iranians have made a fool out of us. Okay, let me go on. So God opened the prophet's word to me and revealed several things that Donald Trump would do. First being that he would be our next president. Number two, that the economy and the stock, this is 9 months before the election, and I have it on CD. Many of you heard it. Over 1,000 people have heard it. I have the CDs. You can hear the original messages from February of 2016. If you want to purchase them, you can purchase them through our website or contact our ministry. They're $25 for the set of three, and you can order these messages that were preached in February of 2016, predicting Donald Trump would be the next president. I was not a Donald Trump supporter at the time. I did not have any affiliation with him. I still don't have an affiliation with him. But number two, that the economy, when Donald Trump became president, God showed me the economy, and I said it in the messages and in our newsletters to the same effect. We have newsletters said that the economy would take off, the stock market would rise dramatically. I think it went up 40% in the first year or so of his presidency. The stock market went up from like 18,000 to 25,000. It went up like 40% in one year. Now, last year wasn't a good year, but many people believe it's going to come back this year. I happen to believe it will too. You know, I'm not a financial advisor, but I don't want to get into that. But I'm going to tell you why I think it's going to come back, because he's going to be reelected, and I believe the economy has to be strong. And there was some great news yesterday too. 312,000 jobs were added in December in the United States. Huge amount of jobs were you know, the jobs report, where Americans got 312,000 jobs in December. Praise God. That's a huge number of jobs. And there was great economic news yesterday, which caused the stock market to go up over 700 points. But anyway, so the economy would rise, the stock market would rise dramatically when Trump assumed office. Number three, he would defeat ISIS and the radical Islamic threat in the Middle East, but mostly ISIS. I said it, I wrote it in the newsletter, I preached it in this message, I've preached it many times, that Donald Trump was going to destroy ISIS. So a couple weeks ago it came out that Donald Trump was going to remove the troops from Syria. And everybody got mad. Everybody, the Democrats got mad that he was going to take the troops out of Syria. But one Democrat supported him, the one he's been calling Pocahontas. That's the one Democrat supported him. She said, "I agree with Donald Trump." Elizabeth Warren said, "I agree with Donald Trump. We should take our troops out of Syria, and we should take them out. We should stop this. Unless you can give me a reason that why we should be in Afghanistan, we should take our troops out of Afghanistan," she said. Now, I'm not saying whether I agree or disagree. I'm more inclined to think that if you take the troops out, you leave a vacuum for some bad guy to come in. That's the way I look at it. But it's, you know, nobody asked me, so let's go on. But isn't it interesting to see Elizabeth Warren allied with Donald Trump? on this issue. I said that Donald Trump would be embattled and that he would have many enemies. Number six, I said that he would help the Jewish people and many Christians escape the USA during a period of increased anti-Semitism, anti-church, anti-Bible sentiment. Donald Trump would help many Jews and Christians escape the United States and go to Israel in what we call Aliyah, or I preached on it last week, called it the Second Exodus. And number seven, that he would destroy Iran's nuclear and military power before losing his own power himself. He will and must end this existential threat to Israel by Iran. Donald Trump must and will end this existential threat to Israel by Iran. Why? A, because it's not in the Bible. Israel is never nuked in the Bible. Though Israel will be invaded, Ezekiel 38 and 39, in the Battle of Gog and Magog, Israel is invaded by armies from the north, which many believe to be Turkey and Russia and other, what they call the stands, Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan, and possibly even the remnant of Iran, and even he says Ethiopia will join in. Could most likely be Somalia and Sudan more than Ethiopia. But anyway, it's going to be attacked. Revelation 16 talks about the Battle of Armageddon. Israel will once again in the Valley of Megiddo, and I've been to Israel 17 times. There's a big fertile plain called the Valley of Megiddo. Have you ever been there in the Valley of Megiddo, the Jezreel Valley? It's filled with fruits and vegetables and trees. It's also the highway for all the armies to come from north to south, and it's been invaded 26 times in history. The archaeologists have found in Megiddo, or Armageddon, Harmageddon. Armageddon means Mount Megiddo. Everybody say Mount Megiddo. Okay, Armageddon is in Hebrew is Har Megiddo, and it means Mount Megiddo. And Mount Megiddo is a heap of 26 civilizations. 26 civilizations. It's an archaeological tell. And when you put 26 civilizations on top of each other, you get a mountain, it looks like a big knob. Here, we call it a knob. There, it's one civilization destroyed and another one built on top of it. That one destroyed and another one built on top. 26 times! That place, I would not want to buy real estate in that place. It's the last place on earth that you'd want to. It's probably been the biggest battlefield on the face of the planet. Okay, so what's my point? Israel is never nuked. Israel is never nuked, but it is invaded at Armageddon and in Gog and Magog, Ezekiel 38, 39. But nowhere does the Bible tell us that Israel will be blown off the map. If it were to happen, then God's word would be untrue. Zechariah 8, I will dwell in Jerusalem, says the Lord. I'm zealous over Zion. Zechariah 14, he will set foot on the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem. God would be a liar. If Israel was blown off the map, then God's word wouldn't be true. He couldn't dwell in Jerusalem, and he couldn't set foot on the Mount of Olives if it was blown up, right? So God can't allow it to happen. Do you understand that? So all politics aside, everybody, there's only one country in the world that has the power to stop Iran's nuclear program. The United Nations isn't going to stop it. The European Union is not going to stop it. President Obama didn't stop it. President Bush didn't stop it. The only person with the chutzpah, in Jewish we say chutzpah, or gumption, there's other words I could use. The only person with the chutzpah, or the gumption, to stop it that I know of is Donald Trump. And he's the guy that broke the treaty that John Kerry made and President Obama where President Obama gave $150 billion to the Iranians. We paid them off for a promise that they wouldn't... We paid the devil $150 billion for a promise that they wouldn't build nuclear weapons. We paid the devil $150 billion. Then, on top of that, we sent a special airplane over with $1.5 billion in cash as an extra, an added bonus. Gee, I wonder if there was a kickback. I wonder if there was a kickback on that $1.5 billion to John Kerry or President Obama. I wonder if they got $50 million each. Who knows? Maybe Obama got $75 million. You just don't know. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. Why? Do you know the whole fleet of F-35s, stealth fighters that the United States has, the entire fleet, like 100 of them, cost $90 billion. The most high-tech, newest fighter jet that we have in the U.S. military, the whole fleet cost $90 billion. We gave Iran $150 billion. And you don't think they're going to use that money to build nuclear weapons and to build intercontinental ballistic missiles? Brother, you need to have your head examined if you don't think so. They've been killing us ever since 1979. All right. They need to be taken out. Praise God. So God has a purpose. Whether you like Trump or not, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, and if you're a Christian or Messianic, we know that God's word is true. God is not a liar. This is not... or never ever was intended to be a political message, though I believe God showed me, and I have, as I said, the CDs from three sermons that I preached preached it to over 1,000 people many months before Trump was elected. This message is about God's kingdom. God's man and his mission of service to God. Other issues such as immigration, alleged racism, border walls, enmity and strife, battles over women's rights to their bodies and abortion, government standstill between the Democrats and Republicans in Congress, climate change. And to be fair, many Republicans have fought President Trump as hard as Democrats. Bob Corker, Paul Ryan, John McCain, Susan Collins, Jeff Flake, to name a few, have fought the president. We haven't seen the president promised that he would undo Obamacare and give us a new health care plan. He wasn't able to get the votes because people like McCain and Susan Collins wouldn't vote for it. We couldn't get 60 votes. And Bob Corker, who's no longer the senator, who hates Trump. Our wonderful senator, former senator from Tennessee. Paul Ryan worked against Trump. Anyway, there are several others. These things are mostly a distraction, guys. All this politics and stuff, even the border. God's not interested. The border, if God was interested in the border, let me tell you something, there would be a wall. If God was really interested in there being in the border and securing the border, there would be a wall. But there isn't going to be one. And I'll tell you why. There may be a wall, but it won't be the wall. And you know why? Not like Israel has a wall. You know why? Because when God judged Israel, he says, he prophesied in Genesis chapter 48 or 49, Jacob spoke prophecy over Dan, his son Dan. He said, Dan will judge his people. He'll judge his brothers. And do you know, when the Assyrian military came in, the army, huge army, came in 722 BC, they came in from the north, and they came down from the north on the hill. I've been there. I've sat at the gates of the city of Dan, In the open gates of the city, I sat in the seat of the prophet, and I could see the hill where the Assyrian army came down. And when the army came down to Israel, guess what they did? They left the doors open. They let them in. They let the enemy come right in. Because oftentimes when God judges a nation, he removes their defenses. Throughout history, oftentimes when God judges a nation, he removes their defenses and doesn't let them have walls. Now, some guys said walls are 4th century. Well, if walls are 4th century, I don't know why Nelson Mandela had a 22-foot wall with glass shards sticking out of concrete on the top of it at his house when I went to it in the 1990s. He had a 20-25-foot wall, concrete or slab wall outside of his house to keep people out. Wealthy people put walls and fences, electrical barbed wire, electrical cameras, and even electrify the walls. Walls work. They keep people out. If you walked up to a 20-foot wall and you didn't have a big ladder, or you weren't a good climber, you're not going to go over that wall. Amen? We got a 6-foot wall out here with barbed wire on top of it. How many of you think you could climb over that without tearing yourself up? How many of you would try? Raise your hand. Xavier would try it. Okay, one person. Diane, you'd try climbing over that fence? Okay, we have two. All right. But if there was no fence there, how many of you would walk right down the lawn where the fence is? Raise your hand if you'd walk right down if there was no fence. Just raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, pretty much everybody, I think, right? No fence, what's going to stop you, right? Nothing. But I don't think there's going to be a wall. See, all these are empty issues. These are not things that concern the living God right now. Right now, he's focused on other things. Okay? We think we're the most important. We're all that in a bag of chips. The United States, we think we're it's all about us. Amen? That's the way we think. As a people, we think it's all about us. But it's not all about the United States. Look at Rome. Look at Babylon. Look at Persia. Look at Greece. They all thought it was all about them. Egypt. Every one of those empires, the Turks, they all thought it was all about them. But it wasn't. Okay. These things are mostly a distraction to throw people off. The real mission of Donald J. Trump. Here's the plan. We all need a plan, whether it's for retirement, having a family, preparing for a career, etc. The most successful people in life plan. Yet God's word says, a man makes plans, but the Lord directs his steps. Yet somehow, when you make a plan and you step into, you exercise your plan, somehow God kicks in. If you have a pure heart and good intentions and you pray and you follow God, when you step out in faith, God will meet you. And he may not answer your prayer or your plan the way you expect it, but he will always meet you and answer, okay? So we all need a plan, whether it's for retirement, having a family, preparing for a career. The most successful people in life make a plan. Yet God's word says a man makes plans, but the Lord directs his steps. In the same vein, you need a plan for your life after President Trump. Because if you are a church, synagogue attending, Bible believing, Constitution supporting, First Amendment and Second Amendment, gun rights believer, Trump supporter, Republican, a Jew or a Christian, they're coming for you. They're coming for you. This new congresswoman, Ocasio, called for a 70% tax increase on the rich. Under the Obama administration, they wanted to raise taxes. They promised they weren't going to raise taxes on the middle class. Guess what? They tried. It didn't pass because they didn't have the House and the Congress. They didn't have the Senate. But they tried to pass a bill to raise taxes on the middle class. They say, Ocasio, she says, Cortez, she says they want to raise her. She wants to raise taxes on the wealthy 70%. In New York City, that would equate to about a 90% tax on your income if you lived in New York City and you were wealthy. Okay? But don't stop there. They don't want to just tax the rich. They want to tax you. Say they want to tax. They want to tax me. Say it. They want to tax you. They want to tax you. They're not saying it because they want your vote. But they're going to tax you. Macron, I want to tell you this. The president of France, you ever seen a Fiat? Anybody ever seen a Fiat? Raise your hand. You seen those little tin cans that people are driving now? They're starting to drive these little, what's that other car that can fit between like 3 feet? Smart car, yeah, the smart car. You know, that's the kind of car people drive in England and France and Italy and Fiats. These little tiny tin cans. And in South America, that's what they drive. You know why? Because gasoline costs $5, $6, $7 a gallon. So Macron, the president, about a month ago, he comes out and says, we're going to raise the tax because of the climate change accord that Trump got out of, because of the, what would they call it, the Paris Accords on climate change. The time had come to raise the gas tax, not because they needed the tax, but because they wanted to do away with fossil fuel. They supposedly want to do away with fossil fuel. That means gasoline. That means, what's fossil fuel? Petroleum. Is natural gas fossil fuel? I think so. They want to do away with fossil fuel. So they want to raise the tax, gas tax, and it caused riots in the streets in France and people shouting off with his head to the president for a 5-cent gas tax. Somebody said, kings of France have lost their heads for less. You following me? Riots in the streets, breaking windows, looting stores, and chanting anti-Semitic slurs. This has been going on for over a month in France. Riots in every city. Tourism is down. The president of France was his life. They surrounded his palace. He had to, was almost about to leave the country and go to another country to escape. It got that bad where the president of France almost had to leave the country. The president of Germany, the most powerful woman in Europe, Angela Merkel, is about to lose her job because she's let 2 million immigrants into Germany, and they've raped and stolen, and the welfare system has been burdened. The people have been paying for these immigrants, these Arab immigrants, and the welfare system has been paying for them, and the people of Germany are fed up with it. Same thing in England. They want to break off from the European Union. They're tired. So what's happened? I'm going to explain to you what's happening in the world. The most successful people in life. Okay. So you need a plan for your life after President Trump, because if you, as I said, are a Bible-believing church or synagogue attending, Constitution supporting, First Amendment, pro First Amendment, pro Second Amendment, gun rights believer, Trump supporter, or just a Republican or a Jew or a Christian, they're coming for you when Trump is gone. They talk of race, they call you Nazis. They call Trump Hitler. And they say, you're a Nazi, or I'm a Nazi. And they want to raise our taxes as high as 70 to 80%. They want to take your wealth. They want to take away, They want to raise, you know, Obama's energy secretary said his goal was $6 gasoline. He never accomplished it. But he said it very early on. You can look it up. Obama's energy secretary said, we want $6 gasoline. Why would a president of the United States want $6 gasoline for the American people? Our president has lowered the price of gas to $2.09 a gallon here in Tennessee and Virginia. $2.09 to $2.20 a gallon for a gallon of gas. Why would a president of the United States want to raise your gas price to $6 a gallon, or your home fuel, your oil, if you have heating oil, to $6 or $7 or $8 a gallon? Why would they want to do that to you? Because they want to control you. They want to take away your trucks, your pickup trucks, your Jeeps, your sports cars. They don't want you to have the right to drive what you want to drive. They want to put you in a Fiat. Actually, they like to take away your cars, and they like to put you in cattle cars and drive you around wherever they want. But they know if they try that one, there's going to be riots. So at first, they're going to give you little cars like they do in Russia, little tin cans, and in England, and Italy, and France, these little tin can Fiats and Renaults. That's what they want to give you. They want, you know, and make your life a living hell. They want. Did you went under Obamacare? Did your health care bill go up? Raise your hand if your health care costs went up. Mine did. Did your health care costs go up? Somebody raise your hand if it did. We got one person who's honest. Okay. How many of you got to keep your doctor or didn't get to keep your doctor? Raise your hand if you didn't get to keep your doctor under your health plan. Wow, that's pretty good. Praise the Lord. Those are the promises that were made to us. They talk of raising your taxes. Climate change. It's baloney. It's a lie. They want to tax gas so you can drive a tiny Euro car or nothing at all, while they go around flying like Al Gore and Bill Clinton and George Clooney fly around in private jets and drive around in Chevy Suburbans and Tahoes and limousines, and they want to drive their big trucks and SUVs while you drive your little tin can, because they can afford $6 gas and you can't. Basically, their goal is to enslave the masses, create a centralized government. This is the truth. I'm preaching truth. Without any borders, that's called globalism. They want a centralized government where an elite few powerful people have the money, have the planes, have the guns, have the military. They can fly planes and drive cars just like the communists. If you belong to the Communist Party during Soviet Russia, you live like a king. If you weren't in the Communist Party in Soviet Russia, Soviet Union, you live like a peasant. You had to work 12, 14-hour days. You had to wait in bread lines and milk lines, and live in a little tiny little apartment with sometimes very little heat in the wintertime. People suffered and still suffer in Russia. Hard life. Very hard life over there for the people, if you weren't in part of the communist elite. Well, these people, they don't want any borders. They want people to be able to cross borders with, you know, from any country. Come right in. This is just another word for Babel. The people uniting against God to build not a tower in Genesis 11, but they want to put colonies on the moon and perhaps Mars. Yeah, that's right. NASA, they've taken over NASA. The whole goal of NASA is to colonize Mars and the moon. These elite people, instead of instead of building a tower like the Tower of Babel to go up to the heavens, they want to build cities on the moon. Not for you, for them. They want to get away from you because they find you and me offensive. What? They call us deplorable. That's right. Irredeemable. Deplorable. We're Nazis to them. They call Trump Hitler. Gee, I don't know where are the concentration camps? Where are the ovens? Where are the black shirts? Where are the people getting rounded up? Where are the trains? If Trump's Hitler and we're Nazis, they're full of coke. But this is globalism. That's what it is that they're doing. It's just another word for Babel. The people uniting against God to build not a tower but colonies on the moon and perhaps Mars for folks like Mark Zuckerberg, Elon Musk, Richard Branson, Barack Obama, and the elites of the world, the super rich and powerful. So what will you do? What's your plan to escape when all hell breaks loose like it is in France, when there's riots in the streets, and when the government collapses? What's your plan? What are you going to do when Donald Trump's gone and there's no government and no Donald Trump government to protect you or to protect my right to stand in the pulpit? They just arrested 100 Chinese Christians in an underground church. God knows what happened to them. We don't know if they're alive or dead. They just put a travel ban for Americans going to China. They say if you go to China, they might not let you out. Don't go to China. So what will you do? What's your plan to escape such tyranny? Tyranny's coming. Wake up. Tyranny's coming to America. And it's not Donald Trump. Donald Trump said yesterday he could, by executive order, shut the border. He doesn't need Congress, he said. I believe him. He could just call the military and shut the border. He could put, what's that, razor wire? He could put rows and rows of razor wire and soldiers every 100 yards, you know, every 125 yards. He could put three soldiers or four or five, whatever, you know, from Fort Bragg or all the way to, or people from San Diego, Marines. He could, you know, he could put military along the border and stop people from coming into this country. He doesn't need to build a wall. Razor wire will do fine. Put about three or four rows of razor wire, nobody's crossing that border. Amen? Am I right, Terry? Yeah. Constantine wire. Amen. So anyway, but you know what the president said yesterday? He says he doesn't want to do that. He wants to work with Congress. He doesn't want to do it by executive order. He wants to get Congress to fund the wall. He doesn't want to do it outside, you know, he wants to use the government. I admire that. But what will you do? What is your plan to escape the tyranny that's coming? And I say that to you on Facebook. And I say that to you watching online. What is your plan in Europe? Those of you watching in England and in Alaska and other parts of the world, what is your plan to escape the tyranny that's coming upon this world? It's in the Bible, the Antichrist. And it has to come. It's coming. That's why there's not going to be a border wall. Because the Antichrist is coming. The Babel's coming, the one world government, the globalism, it's coming. It's going to win. Eventually, it's going to win. What are you going to do? If you're not an elite globalist, by the way, the masses of protesters like Antifa and Black Lives Matter, you're expendable. I got news for you. You modern day brown shirts, you're nothing but pawns in a much larger game, and they're going to throw you away and they're going to toss you under the bus. The elites are going to toss you under the bus, and you think you're working for these high-powered people, these, you know, like Nancy Pelosi and Cortez and Bernie Sanders. They're going to throw you under the bus, and they're gonna toss you out in the trash, and you're gonna suffer like the rest of the world. But you're going to be their henchman and do their dirty work. And your pay, you know what your pay is going to be? Nothing. You're not going to get welfare. You're not going to get benefits. You're not going to get a paycheck for all your breaking windows and beating up Republicans and all the junk you're wasting your time not working and not building your own life. I suggest you go back and build yourself a life and get a job. Because nobody's looking out for you, buddy. You're a fool if you think they are. And I'll say that to all of you. If you think anybody's looking out for you besides God, you're a fool. The only person who's going to take care of you is you. The church ain't going to take care of you. Some of you depend on churches to take care of you. You go from church to church looking for help. People out around here, they go from church to church. They knock on the door here every week. People, they go church hopping. They don't even go to church, but they go to churches looking for help. The church isn't going to do it. Churches have millions of dollars. I know churches and synagogues. I know a synagogue with a $1 million bank account. A poor woman came to me last week, and she was crying to me on social media and about her need, about how she's fallen through the net. And she went to her rabbi who has $1 million in the bank, I happen to know, and he wouldn't help her. Because the more money they have, the more greedy they get. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. Nobody's looking out for you. And I love you enough to tell you that. Praise the Lord. I can't look after you. I can't feed you. I can feed you the Word. Do you understand? I can feed you the Word. I can pray for you. You've been healed by these hands, by God's power. I can do God's work for you. But I can't take you. I guess if you've lost your job and you needed a place to sleep, you can sleep in the pews. And we'd feed you. We'd give you, you know, we'd do our best to take care of each other. Amen. We're a family. And we would do our best to take care of one another, and we always do. Amen. When one of us has a need, and somebody makes the need known, there's nobody in this room who can't say that when they've had a need and made it known, that we didn't step up and try to help that person. Am I right? Hallelujah. Amen. What's your plan to escape the tyranny? If you're not an elite globalist, so what is your exit plan? Last week, I spoke of a coming second exodus. You can watch or listen to the message on our website, if you're watching on the website, or you can go back on my Facebook page to last week's message, or just go to our website, www.forzionsake.org, forzionsake.org, forzionsake. You can look on the last week's message online. I talked about the coming second exodus. Right now, we're learning about the first exodus. God's word speaks of a second exodus that's coming. When Hosea 11:10 says that the Lord's people, the Jewish people, will return to the Lord, and he will roar like a lion, and we will come trembling from the west. Jeremiah 14:16 says, "Behold, days are coming, saith the Lord, when no longer will they say, 'The Lord lives, who brought up the children of Israel from the land of Egypt,' but 'The Lord lives, who brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all the countries where he scattered them.'" A second exodus is coming, a great exodus from the west. But you know, France is having anti-Semitism. And the prime minister of Israel said to the French people, he said, "You pray toward this country. This is your country. You have a homeland," he said. France is not your homeland. He said, you pray toward this land, come home. And you know what? They expected 10,000 to come this year, but 6,000 came. You know why? They interviewed people who didn't come. You know what they said? It was too much paperwork. Relearning my job skills was going to be too hard. These are the things they said. It's the cost of living is too high. I'm doing okay in France. The anti-Semitism isn't so bad. I'm going to stay in France. They'll die there if they don't go. The doors will shut eventually, and they will die. It has to get bad enough here for American Jews, Messianic Jews, and Christians to want to leave this country. It has to get bad enough, and it will. And in the next 5 or 6 years, it will get bad enough. Not right away. Trump's going to be reelected. Mark my word. The economy's going to rise again. Jobs are going to be strong. And things he says he's going to do, he's going to do. He's going to be elected a second time. I'm declaring. And you know what? Because he has to destroy Iran. That's why I believe this so much. He's the only one, and he's going to do it in his second term. All right. So what's your exit plan? Last week I spoke of a coming second exodus. I encourage you to get that message from last week. Go to our website, or you can order a copy of it. Call our office and get a CD for $10. We'll ship it to you. We're studying the first Exodus now in the Bible, but the Bible speaks of a second Exodus greater than the first. Will you be part of it? What options do you have? You going to bug out? You got 20 years of food stored up, of freeze-dried food, dehydrated food? Have you got a place in the woods and guns and ammo stored up? You're gonna fight. When they see your campfire, they're going to come looking for you. They're going to see your smoke rising, and they're going to come for you. And they'll come with those black SUVs, those Suburbans. And they'll come with body armor. And they'll come with AR-10s and big guns and shotguns. And they're going to come for you. Are you going to have enough people to defend your little bug out when they find you hiding in the woods? I hope so. I hope you make it. The second option is the rapture. The third option is the rapture. Now, all I'm going to say about the rapture is hope for the best, prepare for the worst. I'm preparing for the Exodus. I'm a believer in the second Exodus. Why? Because the Bible, I follow biblical patterns. Biblical patterns. 1 Corinthians 10 says that we should look at Moses as our example upon whom the end times have come. Moses is our example. The things that happened to the children of Israel and to Moses are our example. Read it, 1 Corinthians 10. Upon whom the ends of the age have come. If you want to know what things are going to be like when you go to Israel for the second Exodus, you'll be living in tents. It's several places in the Bible. It says they lived in tents when they came into the promised land. In the wilderness, they lived in tents, in the desert. Many of us are going to live in tents because we can't afford houses in Israel. But if we have to get out of this country by the skin of our teeth, amen? If we have to get out of this country with the clothes on your back, would you live in a tent in Israel? If that was going to save your life, I would. And you know what God says when you keep Sukkot? He says, we read about it in Leviticus 23. He says, celebrate this feast as an ever forever, because you lived in tents when I took you out of Egypt. We're going to live in tents again. When the second Exodus comes, many of us are going to live in tents. Some of us might have a building or an apartment in Israel. I know a guy who has four houses in Israel, you know. But most people are going to be living in tents. So what's the conclusion then? The plan is, what are you going to do when tyranny comes? When Trump's gone, after he's defeated ISIS, help the Jews. You're going to start seeing the Jews leave from the West in the next 5 years, I believe. 4 years, 5 years. You're going to see Trump. You're going to see him fight Iran. Iran's going to provoke us. He's not going to attack Iran just blindly. They're going to do something to provoke the United States, and he's going to fight back. And he's going to destroy their nuclear capability. What do you think this space army is? You know what the space army is? Ronald Reagan had another name for it. It was Star Wars. The space army is just another name for Star Wars. You know, when an intercontinental ballistic missile goes up in the sky and it comes back down, then that's what it does. It goes up to the, doesn't it go, am I right, Terry? And an ICBM goes up to the edge of the atmosphere, and then it comes back down to its target. For some reason, I don't know why they do that. This doesn't go flying over the earth. It goes up and then down. The whole Star Wars concept is to have lasers that will take out missiles. That's what the space army is. It's just another name for Star Wars. He's just changed the name. Amen? So, what's the conclusion? The conclusion is, what can you do? What can I say? Ask yourself. Say, what can I do? Ask yourself, what can I do? Well, number one, you can pray. God, what's my exit strategy? God. Because I'm going to tell you something. I've been working with people, rich people, military people, politicians, about the Exodus, trying to get them to put their heads together. I've been working with these people for, well, Carol and Diane sitting back there, you've been to our meetings, right? You've served food at those meetings, amen? As we talked about planning the Exodus, when the time came for the Jews and many Christians to leave, you've been to those meetings. Have you seen the high-ranking people? Am I lying? Congressmen? And generals, even military general. Can I get a yes? Yeah. Yeah? Amen? Yeah, they've seen it. They've served those people. But you know what? Those people aren't offering to help. They're not offering. They're not pulling out their wallets. They're not pulling out their assets. They're not saying, oh, let's do this. Yeah, Rabbi Joe, I see it coming in 3-4 years. Here's what we need to do. They're not doing that. So you know what that leaves me to say? We got to find our own way. So get your passport. Get your passport. You can ignore me. You can put a deaf ear to what I'm saying. You know, there's a guy with a TV station up there, up in north of Abingdon. And you know what he said to me about this? He said, who'd want to bother us up here? Who'd want to bother us up there? Yeah. They know you're up there. Guy with the TV station up north of Abingdon. They know you're there. They'll shut you down. They'll come for you. They'll come for everybody. They'll drive up country roads. They'll drive up dirt roads. They'll drive up coal mining roads. They'll come looking for you. When tyranny comes, it's going to come for us all, folks. You're not going to escape it. Some will. Some will get out there so far in the woods, they'll be eating tree bark and mushrooms, and they'll be eating herbs And they'll be wearing like John the Baptist. They'll be eating what did he eat? Locusts and honey, wild honey. They'll be finding wild honey to scoop. You know, that's what they'll be doing. They'll be out there. Now, so there will be some folks will survive out there, but many won't. What's your plan? Number one, get your passport. Be ready to go. What did God say to the children of Israel? He said, gird your loins, have your staves in hand, have your sandals on your feet, ready to go at a moment's notice. Be ready to go at a moment's notice. Have your passport, have some cash, have some whatever, gold and silver, you know. Be ready to go at a moment's notice. Do you know that 40% of Americans don't have $2,000 if they needed it? They couldn't come up with, if they had to pay a bill, 40 or 49% of Americans couldn't come up with $2,000. Do you know over 60% of Americans couldn't come up with $400 cash? Did you know that? Over 60% of Americans couldn't come up with $400 cash. Did you know, you look these statistics up, you can Google it. I did. Did you know what I was going to say, but Lord help me. Get your passport. Pray, Lord, I want to be on that train when the tyranny comes. I want to be out of here. Because if you read the rest of Daniel 8, it says this country is going to be broken up into four weaker nations. And when this country's broken up into four weaker nations, and if you contact me, I'll send you these newsletters, The Last President of the United States, Parts 1 and Part 2, or you can order the CDs, and I'll send them, and you can get those. You know, just contact us, and we'll get you the resources, which give it in detail. I can't go into all the detail, but in Daniel 8, this country's going to be broken up when Trump's gone into four weaker nations. Something's going to break up this country. And that means if we're broken into four countries, weaker, where the tree huggers out there on the left coast, the tree huggers, who want to use paper straws and don't want you to drive, no gasoline. Everybody's going to drive an electric car out there. You know the funny thing about electric cars? Takes fossil fuel to make electricity, doesn't it? It takes coal or natural gas. It takes fossil fuel to make electricity. Am I wrong? You got to charge those batteries. What do you think's charging them? Fossil fuel. It's so stupid, this whole climate change thing. You can almost see the division of this country into four separate parts: the Northeast, the West, and you can see the red and the blue. Well, I'll tell you one thing: if this country's broken into four parts in Daniel 8, if you read Daniel 8, if it's broken into four separate countries after Trump leaves, do you know what's going to happen? The dollar is going to be gone. Do you know what the globalists want? They want to get rid of the dollar. They want to get rid of the dollar. The dollar is strong now. They want to take it down. They want to replace the dollar with some other currency. They're going to destroy the economy. They want to take away. You know, if this country is divided into four separate countries, you know what's going to happen? There's going to be no constitution. The constitution is going to be gone. They want to take away your guns. All those rights that you have in the Bill of Rights, it's all going to be gone. Unless you're in one of the countries of the four that keeps that. I don't know what's going to be like. It's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be pretty, and life is not going to be as easy. Do you know how perilous? The national debt is over $20 trillion. That means that each one of you owes, including the children in this room, $60,000 to pay off the national debt. Every one of you owes $60,000 to the government. Okay? Every one of us. Billy, Wendell, Anthony, Anna, Diane, we all owe $60,000. That's our share of the national debt. Every American, every baby, $60,000. You get born into this country, you're in debt, $60,000. Did you know that? Now, they're not coming to knock on your door and say, give me $60,000. But someday, do you know if interest rates kept going up? Do you know how close we were to a financial collapse this last month? Do you know how close? Do you know that if the Fed kept raising interest rates, you guys have no clue. If they raise interest rates, we can't pay our interest on our debt. Imagine you have credit. You have a credit card. Who has a credit card? You pay. If you ever pay a balance on a credit card and you let the balance go through cycle and you have interest, right? But imagine you couldn't pay the interest. What would happen? What would happen? If you had credit cards and you couldn't pay just the interest, forget about the principal, you couldn't make the interest payment on your credit card or your car payment. What would they do with your car? They'd take it away. If you couldn't pay the interest on your mortgage, what would they do with your house? They'd take it. What would they, if you couldn't pay your credit card debt, what would they do? They'd come after you. They'd take something, wouldn't they? Well, when the United States, the interest rates, if the Fed keeps raising the interest rates to where the government gets to a point where the interest rate that affects the government's ability to pay its interest on its debt, if we can't pay the interest on our debt, we're sunk. That's all we're doing is we're debt service. All this country is doing for its debt is debt service. We're just paying the interest. And I think it's in the billions. It's like something like $15 billion a day. I don't know, something between 10 and $15 billion a day, the debt that we're paying, maybe $20 billion, between $10 and $20 billion a day. That's just debt service, interest. That's how bad off we are. What's your plan? Brothers and sisters, we got to stick together. And folks who get what I'm saying, you got to get with the right people, because you can't go this alone. You can't go this alone. But you know, if you can get to Israel yourself, get there. Get to Israel yourself. If you can't, hang with a group of people who are planning to go. Because I know one thing, I believe. I've been preaching this for 20 years. God's going to make a way for us. He told me he's going to make a way for us to get there. Some of you have said to me, Rabbi, I don't have any money. You just have to have faith, honey. You just have to have faith. God's going to make a way for you. I've people in this room who've gone to Israel by faith. God made a way. All you have to do next time is stay. And he'll make a way. And he'll make a way. But you got a plan. You only got 5-6 years. I'm not just talking to the people in this room. I'm talking to the people watching us. What are you doing? What are you going to do to get ready? I encourage you, read these newsletters. If you want to get the CDs, get the CDs. Start praying about it. Contact us if you need information about the second Exodus. I can hook you up. But that's the message for today, the plan. What is your plan when tyranny comes to the United States of America? because it is coming. Babel is coming. Globalism is coming. This Trump will leave. He'll be gone one day. And one day the Antichrist will come. What is your plan? Is it the rapture? Are you going to bug out? Or are you going to go to Israel in the second Exodus? Please stand. I want to bless you. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha Ya'ir Adonai panaveilecha v'chunecha Yisa Adonai panaveilecha v'yisem lecha Shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, give you shalom. In the name of Yeshua the Messiah, the Prince of Peace. Shabbat shalom and God bless you. Pray about your plan.